This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
I mean, a little Panthers goal song as we are out once again at the Amerant Bank Arena. We were here on Thursday. We are live at the Amerant Bank Arena today, courtesy of Celsius Essential Energy Drinks. Hockey fans, don't sit this one out. When it's game time, make Celsius a part of your play and get that energy up. Game day is fueled by Celsius, the official energy drink of the Florida Panthers. And there have been some changes to the Florida Panthers since we last reconvened on this show. Let me set the scene here. Crowder is traveling, and so Josh Appel is sitting next to me here at the Amerant Bank Arena to my right. Hello, Joshua.
Hello.
And Tree Crawford, our on-site engineer and resident caterer for remote broadcasts.
I mean, this spread.
You've never seen anything like this before.
It is plentiful, and it is healthy.
Yes, he always goes above and beyond. He brings apples and cheese and grapes.
Although Dasani water.
Well, that's from the arena.
Oh,
that's
Tree, I'm sorry for thinking.
Tree actually brings us Coke Zero and Sprite Zero.
Oh.
So, I mean, honestly, the time of your life. And then back in the studios, as Appel and Tree and I are here in Sunrise, back in the studios, Dan Day and Jimmy Garcia. Dan Day filling in for the ailing Alejandro Solana today. So we have a lot to get to. I did see David Dwork post on Twitter because he was at the Bill Zito press conference today. He was asked, obviously, about Matthew Tkachuk going on IR. And the quote that David Dwork tweeted out was, "I don't know it necessarily says anything other than we have cap space. Matthew is going to be out for an extended period of time, and we hope to get him back for the playoffs." So that's the first time I've heard extended period of time. If I recall, Paul Maurice last week talking about it, he was a little more nebulous than extended period of time. Although I'm guessing Bill Zito kind of has to say that if they're putting him on IR, which a lot of people are assuming it's because it's a little salary cap loophole.
Yes and no. Matthew Tkachuk has a legitimate groin injury that he suffered at the Four Nations tournament. I think it's so ironic the Panthers are now doing the long-term IR deal that we as fans got
outraged.
All that. Tampa was doing it with Kucherov at the COVID-shortened year when the Vegas Golden Knights were $20 million over the salary cap when they beat the Panthers in five games in the finals. The thing you have to understand about Paul Maurice and how he talks about injuries, hockey in general has been very, what's the word I'm looking for? They're not, I wouldn't say lack of honesty with it, but they're very
nebulous, the word. Is. It's like you can kind of take it a million different ways.
Leaves it open to interpretation.
Yeah.
Right. And so if Paul Maurice is saying someone's day-to-day, it's like they're week-to-week. If he's saying week-to-week, probably month-to-month. And that's like the one area of coach speak that Paul Maurice delves into, understandably so, obviously. But, yeah, Matt Tkachuk's going to be out. I mean, you look at the schedule, there's only 20-something games left. So
Tree's opening up the pretzels. No, go ahead, Tree. That's fine. I like it. I like ambient sound.
Love ambient sound.
Yeah.
Especially when it's a bag of pretzels opening.
Who doesn't love a bag of pretzels, by the way?
And they're the snaps. It's like the honeycomb-looking ones.
Yeah, I prefer the ones that actually look like pretzels. Because it's a little cutesy. Are these pretzels or waffle fries? You know what I mean?
Mm. Yeah. Never thought of it that way.
Yeah, well, it's the things I think about.
Yeah. Panthers should be fine, though, to get through the end of the regular season without Matthew Tkachuk. And quite honestly, they've played so much hockey over the last two, three seasons. It's not the worst thing in the world that Matthew Tkachuk kind of gets a little reset. Unfortunately, the Panthers won't have him to finish out the regular season. But big picture-wise, they're trying to win a cup. I'd rather have a fresh and healthy Matthew Tkachuk here for the playoffs.
We'll talk Panthers today with Appel and with Randy Moeller. He's going to stop by. Steve Goldstein is going to stop by as well. Like I said, we are here in Sunrise, Panthers and Lightning tonight. The Heat, they blew another lead last night. They end up losing to the Knicks, and they'll try to right the wrongs tonight. This time against Washington. Anthony Chang in the Miami Herald, he posted, after tonight's overtime loss to the Knicks, the Heat have now blown a double-digit lead in 15 losses this season. Mm. That's the second most such collapses in the NBA this season. Now, on a personal note, I will tell you that when the Heat were up about 16, 17, 18 points in the third quarter, I live bet the Knicks plus 10.5. Being very aware of these late-game collapses, I wasn't betting the Knicks' money line. I didn't think the Knicks were going to come back and win, which they did, but I did bet the Knicks, live bet them, plus 10.5, was able to cash that ticket, so we're on a little bit of a heater.
That's been a solid betting method the last couple of Heat seasons.
It's not a bad way to go. They can have a large lead. They can still hold on to win the game, but if you get a double-digit spread for their opponent, now tonight, I'm not touching this game with a 10-foot pole. Washington, I don't think they're playing anybody. And I think the Heat are 8.5, 9-point favorites going in. And I imagine they'll run up a little bit of a lead. You might be tempted to live bet Washington plus 22, but I don't know if I'm going to touch tonight.
What did you make of Spo after the game saying that he wasn't as worried about blowing the double-digit lead as he was the fact that they were up 4 with a minute or two left, could have gotten a rebound and maybe had a better chance? Because I feel like, if that's a one-off or doesn't happen very often, they're able to protect these leads, that comment you can kind of throw it away and understand. But you just gave us the stat.
They blow double-digit leads.
When it's a characteristic of this team that they do fairly consistently, I don't know that's the thing you want to hear from your head coach.
So they didn't play Khalil Ware in the fourth quarter, and he was having a decent game. And Spo was asked about it, and he said, my thought was the only way to blow a big lead is if they start knocking down three-pointers, so I want good perimeter defenders out there. But you start looking at it all, and you're like, well, I don't know, maybe a little too cutesy there. Somebody's having a good game. I don't know if that's the trend, and obviously it wasn't the trend because they ended up blowing the lead.
Outthinking himself.
Well, sometimes you do that. I always think, who was the manager, who was the Red Sox manager who pulled out
Pedro Martinez?
Was it Pedro Martin? No, who's pitching a gem?
It's about Grady Little.
Grady Little.
Yeah.
Grady Little. Sometimes, and baseball, I mean, they out-cutesy themselves all the time.
Oh, yeah, they do.
All the time. Oh, no, this guy can only go 6. What? He's throwing a gem. This drives me crazy. I know you love baseball. Drives me crazy. But sometimes coaches in all sports do that. I think Spo may be guilty of that from last night. We're not going to blow a double-digit lead again, so we'll keep Ware on the bench. And it's like, well, I'm not certain that that's the best methodology for holding
clearly,
on to
clearly
the
was not.
And it was not. So we got that to talk about. Miami Hurricanes, they kicked off spring practice today. That's very exciting. There was a huge heel turn in the world of professional wrestling. And we know Jimmy, I see him nodding his head, he's a big wrestling fan. Josh Appel is a big wrestling fan. Before I knew Crowder was going to miss today's show because he got caught in the New Orleans airport, I had told Appel last night I was going to bring him on today to talk about John Cena and to talk about the Panthers trade. And I don't want to talk about it yet, but so I saw someone tweet out, that this was the most historic day in professional wrestling since Hulk Hogan and the NWO.
Yeah, absolutely.
This is
the single biggest good guy turning into a bad guy in wrestling since that.
But biggest moment also, like,
I mean, it is.
It was jaw-dropping.
It is. The way they executed it, absolutely. Because, and we'll get to it later, but John Cena's whole thing throughout his 20-plus year
career.
He would
never do this.
As soon as he became a good guy, he was never going to turn, ever. And he's back now for one final year of a farewell tour.
Right. He had announced his retirement. I remember that.
Yeah.
And so this is a wild turn of events. They were talking about it on First Take this morning.
John Cena is one of those personalities in wrestling and in popular culture that transcends
I was watching
every medium.
Reaction videos on Twitter and YouTube. Yeah. Where people watched, was this a pay-per-view?
They call it premium live events now. Yeah, so it was the end of their Elimination Chamber event, which is the final big, quote-unquote, big show before WrestleMania.
Explain to me what was happening there. Who was that, Cody Rhodes that was out there? Cody Rhodes gets to choose who his opponent is?
So basically the concept of Elimination Chamber is there are six wrestlers in this caged pod thing. Two start and then four are in a pod. They unlock after a certain amount of time. Wrestlers get eliminated.
Save this to later because I'm already losing interest.
Regardless, John Cena had won that match to face Cody Rhodes at WrestleMania, and then The Rock came out, and then you saw what transpired.
Interesting. Now, Jimmy, I'm guessing you were watching this live? Jimmy, you love this stuff.
Unfortunately, I didn't watch it live.
So did you know when you started to watch it? Like, had you seen it on social media?
Yeah, I've seen it.
I texted Jimmy.
Oh, wow.
And I might have spoiled it for him.
So, yeah. Jimmy, are you heartbroken about John Cena?
Yeah, but I had to say this. It's about damn time.
Mm. Really? Is that so?
Yes.
Yeah.
Feel this way? It's about time?
I would have been perfectly fine cheering on John Cena and enjoying this final run. I'm going to enjoy it for different reasons now, but it definitely makes it a lot more interesting than it already would have been.
Wow.
No.
So, Jimmy, you don't feel like a piece of you died?
A little bit, but yeah.
Yeah, you can never. I see the reaction, Dan. He'll never give you a yes or a no. It's always, yeah, a little bit. I may have seen it. I may have not seen it live. I'm not sure.
And then for good measure, he throws in a yeah at the end. Like, I didn't answer anything.
Oh, no, but the way it unfolded was awesome.
Did you tear up?
No, I didn't tear up.
You did not tear up. All right, we have a definitive answer.
We'll get into the weeds about how everything went down later, though. Don't you worry.
Okay.
You'll understand it by the end of the show.
Listen, I've been fascinated by this. I don't watch wrestling, but I have been fascinated by this because I happen to love plot twists. It's why I used to love Melrose Place and Beverly Hills 90210 and Friends. They had wild plot twists. Seinfeld, it wasn't wild plot twists. It was cutesy stuff. I love wild plot twists, and this apparently is that. And so I love watching people's reactions to something. So no one saw this coming, or was this something that people thought might be percolating?
There was like, oh, wouldn't it be cool if this is the route they went? There was never really.
But everyone was like, no chance on the farewell tour. If he hasn't been a heel by now, no chance now.
Correct. And with The Rock's involvement, he's kind of operating in this gray area.
So The Rock is a heel?
Yes, The Rock is a bad guy, yeah. And Cody Rhodes is the white meat babyface champion. I mean, you have a Dusty Rhodes' kid who's turned into one of the biggest stars in wrestling, John Cena and The Rock, and Travis Scott, for some reason,
that was funny.
In the ring for one of the biggest moments in the history of wrestling, and all those guys are part of it here in 2025. That's two of the four guys on the wrestling Mount Rushmore, The Rock and John Cena.
Really?
Yeah.
On the all-time wrestling Mount Rushmore?
Absolutely. Yep.
Really?
Yep.
Who are the other two?
Probably Stone Cold and Flair or Hogan.
No, Hogan, Ric Flair.
I mean, Hogan has to be there, whether he's had, you know, transgressions or not. Hulk Hogan has to be on there. You're telling me Andre the Giant is not on the wrestling Mount Rushmore?
He's not.
Bruno Sammartino?
He's not. I mean, Dan, I don't disagree with you, but Stone Cold and The Rock were like the two defining characters of an era that really brought the
one's heard of this Stone Cold guy, so I'm going to take issue with that because I don't know what that is. But Hulk Hogan for sure.
Yeah.
I'll give you The Rock, even though I don't like it's after I had interest. You can't tell me Andre the Giant and Jimmy Superfly Snuka, also transgressions, committed murder, apparently. Allegedly.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. You're telling me no Rowdy Roddy Piper.
These are all amazing legends.
The Fabulous Moolah. Tree's choking on a pretzel. Wendy Richter. I'm telling you, the Fabulous Moolah Wendy Richter matches. Before your time, huh?
I mean, I know who they are. I'm like,
you're telling me Big John Studd, Don the Magnificent Morocco,
Earthquake,
Ivan the Polish Power Pulaski, Putski, Ivan Putski.
Yeah, you don't even know his name. You should go on Mount Rushmore.
Wow, none of these guys.
Nope. John Cena.
All right, if you say so.
I do.
Anyway, we'll talk about that, unfortunately, later. Dierks Bentley is bringing his Broken Branches tour to the I Think Financial Amphitheater in June, and we've got a chance for you to win tickets every single day this week. That's along with special guest Zach Top and the band Lula. And if you want details on how to win, just keep listening. It's a Live Nation show, and we are going to give away tickets, a pair of tickets, every single day this week. I said Dan Day is in for Solana. He's going to give you some headlines now, brought to you by Doral Kia. At Doral Kia, choose from over 500 new Kia models in inventory, like the Sportage, Sorento, and Telluride. And remember, when it comes to Kia, the great deals are at Doral Kia.
Appel, not even the Birdman, Coco Beware?
Oh, great wrestler. Jimmy enjoyed that one. Mm. Doing the Birdman. People are texting in. This is obviously like Sting. Who is this Sting from the Police?
Roxanne.
I had someone text me, Superstar Billy Graham.
I know these names, but I don't know.
Guys, it's The Rock, it's Stone Cold, it's Hogan, and it's Cena. And that's it.
It's The Rock. Really? Stone Cold Steve Austin?
He was a defining character in that era that really brought the boom, along with the NWO and Hogan. It was Hogan with the NWO.
What about Randy Macho Man Savage?
You are naming amazing wrestlers.
Mr. Fuji.
Ooh.
One of the greatest managers of all time.
What about HBK?
No one knows who that is. Who is that?
It's Shawn Michaels. The Heartbreak Kid.
Yeah, Mr. WrestleMania.
He was in the Rockers.
I don't know what that is.
You've never seen the clip of Shawn Michaels super kicking Marty Jannetty through the barbershop window?
Marty? There was a wrestler named Marty?
Yeah.
That guy couldn't have been good.
He got kicked through a window of a barbershop.
Marty McFly.
Marty McFly, not a wrestler, though. I mean, Marty. If they don't even take the time to give the guy a good nickname, they're like, yeah, you know what? Just wrestle as Marty, Marty. You know you're no good. All right, let's get some headlines from Dan Day.
Who was the wrestler that John Wayne Bobbitt saved one time?
Huh? Odd storyline. I do not recall that.
It's a storyline right there. Oh, nonetheless. We have a new Panther, by the way. Blackhawks, former Blackhawks, veteran defenseman Seth Jones, and all we had to do was trade Spencer Knight in a first-round pick for him.
Yeah, I'm going to ask Appel about that in the next segment because Appel's good hockey knowledge. Randy Moeller is going to join us. Goldie's going to join us today. I'll ask them all because there are new faces, and we've lost someone who I thought was a very good backup goaltender and I thought was the goaltender of the future. So some interesting stuff to talk about with the Panthers.
Spring training right now, the Marlins and the Astros are doing battle. Marlins are up 2-0 in the top of the fourth.
Have you seen anything from the Marlins, Josh, that where you go, hey, keep an eye on this season? Or
Sandy Alcantara hitting 100 miles an hour in his last outing. I mean, Sandy's back.
How about my guy, Mervis?
I mean, he's probably going to split time at first base with Jonah Bride, our good friend of the show.
Yeah.
No Messi, no problem last night. Inter-Miami rolled the Houston Dynamo 4-1. They will play Cavalier FC from Jamaica Thursday at 8 in CONCACAF Champions Cup play.
What a bizarre position MLS is in right now, that you have teams releasing statements when Messi is going to be unavailable in the away game for Inter-Miami. And I get why. People buy tickets to go see him.
He's the biggest star in sports.
Yeah.
Correct? That's currently playing. The biggest star in sports.
Probably like him and LeBron.
Right?
Yeah.
The way the NBA approaches it is so different than the way MLS. Now, MLS is a growing league.
Right.
The NBA is a multi-billion dollar entity. But it really is funny because I believe everyone was offered a voucher at Houston who had bought tickets for more tickets.
Right.
Not that you're necessarily going to see Leo Messi, because you won't, but at least you get another free game. But it is funny. The NBA is like, yeah, sometimes the guys will play. Sometimes they won't. Buyer beware. And MLS is forced. I mean, I'm imagining people buy airline tickets.
Yeah.
If you're in, you know, the vicinity of Houston, and this is your one time to see Messi play soccer, like, you book a hotel room, you fly down, and he doesn't play.
Right. It is an insane scenario. That MLS will obviously more than welcome, because they got Messi playing in their league, but I just think it's so bizarre to see these teams releasing paragraphs, multiple paragraph long statements, apologizing for the other team not bringing a player.
But it would be akin, I would say, maybe to WNBA. Caitlin Clark, they're selling a 30,000-seat arena instead of an 8,000-seat arena,
yeah.
And then she doesn't play.
Yeah,
you'd have to say something.
For sure, but like it's almost like Houston Dynamo were admitting fault, that they had some kind of control over it. It's just bizarre to me.
Yeah.
I get it, but it's still bizarre.
If I played for the Houston Dynamo, I'd be like, thanks a lot. Like, Messi's not coming, just give tickets away. That's how valuable you guys are to us.
It also shows that people aren't going there to watch the team in Houston.
Right.
They are,
but not to that extreme.
Right.
And I'm sure the resale market is crazy on that stuff. Like, that's he's an economy unto himself. But I would say to the Houston Dynamo players, be better. You know, if you're offended that people are coming to see Messi.
Hey, how about you win a game? How about you don't lose 4-1?
How about you get as good as Messi and people come to see you? Okay? Mm-hmm. You can stop complaining.
Oh, tough times for Canes basketball. The women's team fell to Cal 82-63 yesterday, ending their season. The men, they fell to North Carolina. They have two more games on the season, but neither the men nor the women will probably make the ACC tournament, so pretty much done with basketball after this week.
Well, we had a nice couple of seasons where they were both very, very relevant, and it was exciting.
Yeah, and that one tournament game on my honeymoon that you and Witty were banging on about the announcer in the women's tournament.
I don't even recall it.
You don't, because you guys were convinced that the announcing crew was
and I
in
never
the bag.
Do that. I never do that. So whoever was announcing must have been anti-Miami.
We had a month long argument.
I don't even. I don't
and it
even
wasn't just you guys. It was every Canes fan was upset about.
Who was the announcer? Do you recall?
I don't remember.
On to weather from the New Mesmin and Dover Law Firm, youraccidentattorneys.com. Free consultations 24-7 at 866-954-MORE. Beautiful here in South Florida. Mostly clear skies, sunny, and around 75.
Sergeant Slaughter?
Ooh.
That's your friend.
He is my friend. Put me in the Cobra Clutch. Rikishi? Harley Rhodes?
Harley Race.
Whatever. Oh, I used to work with a DJ. Her name was Harley Rhodes.
Ooh.
Oh, Dusty Rhodes.
Yeah.
Well, what about Dusty Rhodes?
Dusty had a bigger
hand. The Omni in Atlanta.
Oh, he's a legend. Again, these are all legends. The Bionic Elbow. But he was more of a guy who later in life was molding all the people you see now. He was more of a behind-the-scenes guy.
But as a wrestler?
Oh, he was phenomenal as a wrestler, but he never reached the type of heights that other guys in this conversation have. As far as titles won and things like that.
Jake the Snake Roberts.
Mm. Cactus Jack.
No?
That's also your good friend, Cactus Jack.
Mick Foley.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Surprised you knew that.
I've learned it subsequently, because even when he came to the studio once and I interviewed him, but I didn't know anything about him. I was doing mornings with Zaslow, and Zaslow's like, we got to ask him about the sock. And I go, what sock? What are you talking about, a sock? And then, like, Zaslow's asking the question, and I'm, like, trying to explain it because I'm figuring no one else has heard of this either. Like, this is, like,
Mr.
real.
Mr. Sacco.
Yeah, but apparently it was very, very well.
The Rocket Sock Connection.
Well, all right. we're at the Ameren Bank Arena. You've got Panthers and Lightning tonight here.
This is the Hawk and Crowder Show.
Open shot. Fate of the universe on the line, or the Martians have the death beam pointed at Earth. You better hit it. I want
Bam Adebayo!
Hawk and Crowder.
Survivor 48 is here. And after every episode, dig deep into the show with On Fire, the official Survivor podcast. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcast.
We are back live at the Amerant Bank Arena. Hearing some music from one of the greatest wrestlers of all time, Sting. What's so funny? What? It's not the same guy? Huh. Who knew? Diamond Dallas Page.
DDP?
Yeah. No? So Josh Appel is with me today at the Amerant Bank Arena. So explain this to me a little bit about the Florida Panthers trade. I thought Spencer Knight was having a really good season. I think there were times during the season where we were saying he was playing better than Sergei Bobrovsky. And I thought, and just explain it to me, I thought having a quality backup is super important because there are some times where a goalie goes on a cold streak, and sometimes you have that 1-2 punch, which we kind of had last season.
Stolarz, yeah.
You have that 1-2 punch, it really makes things easier because you're not worried about giving a night of rest to someone. So explain to me first why trade Spencer Knight. Is Seth Jones that good? Was the need that big? Like, explain it to me.
So start with your first question. I was the season that Spencer Knight has been having is such a huge bounce back for him after all the things he had gone through. He was the third goalie throughout the playoffs last year. He played the entire season last year in Charlotte. Comes up this year, trying to hold that weight of being the backup, and played very well, as you pointed out, in the 20-some-odd games that he found action in. But if you remember, the Panthers, over the last handful of years under Bill Zito, have made a ton of pretty big trades. And with that, you give up a lot of your assets. So they don't really have much to give up for a player the caliber of Seth Jones. Spencer Knight, clearly one of their assets, and the first-round pick they sent, clearly one of the ones they're comfortable going with. So from that standpoint, you kind of had to give to get here. I think it's a good trade for both sides because, you know, Sergei Bobrovsky still has one more year left. He's going to be here next year, and then you can reevaluate your goalie situation after that. The Panthers acquired in Seth Jones, a right-handed offensive defenseman, 6'4", 200-plus pounds. He'll be paired up with Nico Mikkola on the second pairing. Mikkola will maybe be able to kind of make up for some of the defensive deficiencies that Seth Jones might have. But the Panthers have desperately needed another right-handed defenseman. Aaron Ekblad's been their only one, and they don't really have a good power play quarterback yet. It's been good enough, but Seth Jones adds another element to their power play. He can also kill penalties as well, and he's such a good fit in this system. And to your question on goaltending about, you know, do you need that second guy? Well, yeah, it's nice to have, but I think what Paul Maurice has built here with this system, I think they're comfortable with pretty much, for the most part, obviously, anybody being back there. And Chris Drieger, who was promoted from the AHL to come be the backup to Sergei Bobrovsky.
And he was here before.
Yep. If you remember, he played very well for the Panthers in that COVID-shortened season.
Yep.
It's already been 5 years since then.
Wild.
And the Kraken rewarded him with a contract.
You know what? Now that you say that, I think on our best of spreadsheet, we have a Chris Drieger interview. I may be wrong. I got to look at this. Go ahead. What you were saying. I'm just kidding. Was it that? Because I remember it being long ago. Was it five seasons ago that he was playing?
Yeah, because remember, he was starting in that series that Spencer Knight ended up playing game five down here where the Panthers extended the series.
Right.
It was Bob and Drieger who were alternating before that. Both didn't play very well, but Drieger was great in that regular season. I think Seth Jones, if you look at some of his numbers, I think they might be a bit of a result of the team that he was playing on. He was relied upon as being the guy for a team in Chicago that is not trying to win right now.
Has he ever lived up to the hype? I remember when he was coming out in the draft.
The Panthers took Barkov over him.
Correct. Yeah. Has he ever lived up to the hype?
He's a four-time All-Star. I mean, he's had a really, really good career, and he got rewarded with a big contract by Chicago a couple years ago. It hasn't worked out for them. But again, he was relied upon there to be the guy with Chicago. Here, he's going to be on the second pair defense. You got minute eaters all around him. Ekblad, Forsling, Mikkola plays a ton. Kulikov plays a ton. Like, the pressure on Seth Jones is not going to be the same as it was, and the load that he has to carry is not going to be the same that it was here. He'll have his specific roles, and I'm sure Paul Maurice will deploy him very well. And he's got four or five more years left on his contract,
too. It is indeed a Chris Drieger interview that we have in our best of folder. Like, that's how interesting we thought he was. I didn't realize that till right now, that it's Chris Drieger who we had on the show.
And they basically plucked him out of nowhere. And that's the other part to this, right? So you said that Spencer Knight was understood to be the goalie of the future. And for a while, I thought the same. And I still think he's going to have a good career in the NHL. But if you look at who Washington has in goal this year. Washington is jockeying for the President's Trophy this year with Winnipeg. I think Washington is actually first in the entire league right now. But they're two goaltenders, Charlie Lindgren and Logan Thompson, right? They're above-average goaltenders, names you've never heard of. But they're not big money guys, right? I think one of them just extended today for 3 years and $9 million, so $3 million a year. And they have a great structure, a great system they play in front of him, and he makes saves when he has to. And when the Avalanche won, Darcy Kuemper was their goalie. When the Panthers lost to Vegas, Aiden Hill was their goalie. These are not big-name guys.
Right.
Aiden Hill has turned into that thanks to a Stanley Cup win. But you can win if you have a good, solid structure, a good, solid system, which they do, Paul Ball, and have an above-average goalie that you don't pay big money to.
Is this a big gamble on their part?
I don't think it's that big of a gamble, right? Because while, yes, you do want to keep in mind what happens 2-3 years from now, like, the Panthers are in their window.
Oh, right, yeah, now. I'm with you. If that's the only gamble, I'm with you. You have a window right now. Don't worry. Like, rack up a couple cups if you can. I'm wondering if it's a gamble in the fact that you're assuming that Paul Ball continues to work, that the defense plays well enough that you can get by with a goalie who maybe is one step below what Spencer Knight was doing.
I think that you can win that way. And I think that you can look directly at the department that Roberto Luongo leads here. The goaltending department of excellence, I think, is the official name for it. They can identify guys, and they've drafted a ton of them over the last few years. And so maybe when it's time to move on from Sergei Bobrovsky, they bring in a veteran, and they can pair him up with one of the young guys they've drafted. I think that this front office, from Will Wido to everybody else who works underneath him, you can trust that they have an idea and a plan of what they're going to do moving forward. And I was actually, one of my first reactions to this trade was, well, Aaron Ekblad's a free agent after this season. Sam Bennett's a free agent after this season. They'll have around $20 million worth of cap space. And I'm trying to think to myself, well, does this mean that one or both are gone?
Are gone.
Or does this spell the end for Aaron Ekblad here? And I don't think that's the case. I think they can still work this out given what is being retained salary-wise by Chicago. I don't know if they're going to be able to keep both Bennett and Ekblad, but I think they should be able to keep one or both. I don't think this has any hindrance on it. Like, again, you don't want to go into next season with the same issue they had going into this year, issue in quotations, obviously. You have one right-handed defenseman out of the six you deploy. So now you've got at least two of them, one for the top two pairings. I don't think you want to be in that same situation next year and lose a guy like Aaron Ekblad who, you know, for whatever criticism he's gotten over the years here, injury-wise or, you know, little lapses in his play, Aaron Ekblad's an all-time Panther, and it would be really tough for me to see him leave here because he was a big part of why they were able to finally get over the hump and win last year. And one more thing, we talked about Matthew Tkachuk going on long-term IR in the first segment. So that opens up $8.7 million worth of cap for the rest of the regular season. The trade deadline is Friday. I don't know if they're going to make another big splash because, again, their assets really aren't there right now to do something, but I would imagine they'll make one or two more moves here before the end of the week because of the cap that's opened up with Tkachuk going on IR.
And Bill Zito, you mentioned him. You call him Will Wido because he puts up W's, so I want people to understand. Bill Zito, though, I saw you tweet out last night, and I think it was Will Manso who responded and said, that was my same thought, which is Bill Zito has built up enough credibility that even if you look at the trade at first glance and you go, you still have to go, wait a second. Bill Zito has he hit on everything, every big trade that he's done?
I can count on one hand the amount of moves where like, I don't know, where it didn't really work out. Like Ben Chiarot came here and was okay, but they gave up a unprotected first-round pick for him, and they nearly missed the playoffs. That could have been disastrous. Thankfully, they obviously went on to the Stanley Cup. You can maybe criticize the Claude Giroux trade, but I think you do that every single time in the position that they were in at that point in that season. But when Sam Bennett was acquired from Calgary, his underlying numbers were not all that great. It wasn't really a popular move with people who are like, what are the Panthers doing giving up this for that? When they brought in Brandon Montour, same type of thing. Nico Mikkola, same type of thing. To a degree, not really the same, but to a degree, Sam Reinhart. They found Gustav Forsling off waivers. Like, this front office is able to identify guys that maybe aren't playing up to their full potential in other places, put them in this system and mold them, and they turn into what you've seen over the last 2-3 years, which is a cup contender and a cup champion.
I wonder if Bill Zito, and maybe it's too early, but we talk about, you know, Pat Riley being the godfather, right? And listen, I know people don't want to hear it about Chris Greer right now, but I happen to think he's made some very brilliant moves in his tenure.
Mixed bag.
But I think getting someone like Tyreek Hill, where he really could have gone anywhere, I think, because everyone wanted him at that point. Is Bill Zito one of the best executives? Is he on the Mount Rushmore of South Florida sports executives?
I certainly think, given the championship that they won last year and generally what this franchise has turned into from where they were, he doesn't get all the credit for that. Obviously, there are other areas of this organization, Matthew Caldwell and, of course, the owners.
They're willing to spend or whatever.
Correct.
But Bill Zito has taken big swings.
Oh, yeah.
And connected.
Swings you don't see. Again, we talked about this plenty, but trading the year after you make it to the second round of the postseason, granted you get swept by tonight's opponent, Tampa Bay Lightning, but your franchise's all-time leading scorer, Jonathan Huberdeau, a top pair, really good defenseman in Mackenzie Weegar, who were massive parts of your 122-point season winning the President's Trophy, and say, you know what, this was really fun, we were a good team, but that what we were doing there, those aren't the type of guys that are going to get us over the hump and win a cup. So he takes the big swing, trades those two guys, brings in Matthew Tkachuk. Big swing for Sam Reinhart and Sam Bennett and all these guys, and it's worked out. It's honestly insane, the clip that he's hitting on with these moves. Again, you can count on one hand, maybe not even up to five, the amount of moves that they've missed on. It really is impressive what he's done here, and it kind of goes under the radar because of the Panthers, right? And, like, we pay attention, but, like, does the casual fan know the guy who's pulling all the strings, like a casual Dolphins fan or a casual Heat fan would know that Pat Riley and,
right,
and Chris Greer are running things? I don't know. Maybe I'm underestimating the portions of the fan base, but
Bill Zito's actually having a better run in the last few years than Pat Riley is.
Yeah, I mean, I had never heard of Bill Zito when the Panthers hired him as general manager, and all he has done at every single step has exceeded expectations. And then some. He's brought success to this organization and sustained success. Like, the idea that their entire core is signed for the next 6 to 8 years and that it's going to be here with the same guys on affordable contracts, not overpaying, it's insane what he has been able to build here. And this market is very fortunate that, number one, he got extended last offseason, and number two, that he's just here in general.
A couple of interesting push notifications I've received while we've been doing this segment. One, Khalil Ware has been ruled out for tonight's game. So maybe he missed the fourth quarter for something greater than Spo just forgetting he was there, but he's ruled out. I'll see if I can get more info. Number two, this is the most interesting push notification I've received in a long time. Myers Leonard, I'm just going to read it to you word for word the way CBS Sports tweeted it out. Myers Leonard, 2012 NBA draft lottery pick, announces retirement with release of country song.
Can we play it?
I don't think I want to. I'm nervous what the lyrics might be. If it's got bike in the title, we are in trouble.
I think he went to some sensitivity training class.
No, I know. I don't have a problem with him. I really don't. But that's funny.
What a funny return.
That is a really funny push notification. Retired via country music song. I know it begs more questions. It begs more questions. Do you want to hear it, though?
Yes.
You really do? Somebody texts in, you are really good at this NHL talk, Josh Appel, probably the best at 560, but you suck at NFL and NBA, the worst. Keep up the good work.
I got to tell you, that guy texts in every time I come on the show.
Is that Whittingham?
It might be. It is my favorite text to read every single time. It always makes me laugh.
That guy, it's weird to appreciate someone's knowledge, like to that degree in something, but also despise everything, like to be on those two extremes on the same person is really remarkable. I think it is
my favorite text. Yeah, it really is.
And obviously he really listens to everything because he is right. You're very good at the NHL. Your other stuff is questionable.
Listen, I'm open to criticism. I'm not sure I disagree with the NBA portion of that either, to be honest with you.
That's funny. How about Leaping Lanny Poffo?
Macho Man's brother.
Is that so?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Get out of here.
Yeah.
Wow. Who knew? All right. We're going to take a break here at the Amerant Bank Arena. That was very interesting hockey talk, by the way. That was more in-depth than we ever do on this show. So that was interesting.
I could do that talk for 4 hours.
It is interesting to me because when I see the trade, and I'm such a rudimentary follower of hockey, and so my thought is, wait a second. I do an immediate analogy to football, and I go, look what happened when Tua went down, and you weren't prepared in the backup quarterback spot. And I go, that seems like that's what you're risking with hockey when Spencer Knight has been so good this season.
He's really good, but expendable because they were able to bring in something that they needed. The Blackhawks got something they needed, and the Panthers trust their system. In front of their goaltenders,
if you gave a letter grade to the trade for the Panthers, what letter grade would you give it?
Probably like B+, A-.
And what would you give to the Chicago Blackhawks?
Oh, it's an A for the Blackhawks.
Really?
They get a potential goalie for the future there and another first-round pick. Look, the Panthers are in all likelihood going to – that pick's probably going to be at the end of the
They're going to be good for a while.
But it's still an extra first-round pick, an extra asset for them that maybe they can flip to somebody else in a trade. I think both teams did well there.
All right, we're going to take a break here from the Amerant Bank Arena. You have Panthers and Lightning tonight here in Sunrise. 3 o'clock hour and headlines coming up next.
This is the Hawk and Crowder Show.
Hey, Hawk, how was the Civil War?
Hawk and Crowder.